Well, good morning, folks. It's good to be back in the Lord's house this morning. Even better to be in His family. Good to see each one of you out. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here. Of course, Brother Rodney normally would be teaching, but he's at home taking care of his dear wife, Sandy. She's got several health issues going on, so we definitely need to be much in prayer for her. Pray for Rodney too as he takes care of her. Pray that God would give the doctors and them wisdom as far as that goes on how to deal with these different health issues. And Lord being willing, He'll bring her out of this quickly. And so let's be much in prayer, as I said, for them. If you've got a prayer request, we want to take a little bit of time here to take prayer requests. And if you've got a prayer request, then we'd ask you to make that known, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe mention a few things about what's coming up here at the church, and then we'll get into the lesson. So if you've got a prayer request, we'd ask you to share that now. Brother Jim? Anyone else? Phil Wood. Okay. Let's do remember this. Anyone else? Been a while since I've been up here teaching, so I would remind you, I pray for my son, his family, that they'd get right, Lord, get where they need to be with him, and just pray the Lord's will be done. They've got several family members. I was looking back over my prayer list there this morning, and actually talking to my son-in-law even last night, I was reminded of some that I had actually failed to put on my prayer list, but we've got a lot to pray about, a lot of folk to pray for, and we certainly got a nation. And as we were talking out in the vestibule there, different areas in our country, of course our country as a whole, eaten up with this anti-God philosophy, way of life, but the gospel's still able to do the job. God's still able to intervene in people's lives, and not only individuals, but God's even able through those individuals that he reaches to change societies and change the way life goes. If folk will just obey the gospel, just trust Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to lead, then God can change even great big societies. God can do it. Nothing is impossible with him. Is there any other requests before we go to the Lord in prayer?
Peace of Israel.
Yes, sir. We do need to pray for Israel. That's right. I mentioned it. I think it was here that I mentioned it, but it's been probably 3 weeks ago or so since I've actually heard a report about it. But there are certain mission works that are going on in Israel, in Gaza, in those areas, getting the scriptures out to them. And of course, Brother John's ministry broadcasting over the Facebook and social media, this gospel presentation, others that are engaged in getting the word of God into these places. And according to the reports, they're having at least some marginal success right now as far as being able to get in and get positive responses out of folks. So we certainly need to be much in prayer that God's word, he said it wouldn't return void. We can claim that promise. We can claim his ability to do and trust him to do that. We certainly do need to remember Brother Johns. He comes to preach later on this morning and this evening. I won't be here this evening. I've got an appointment down in Beach Creek this evening to preach. So appreciate your prayers for that. That God help me, of course, help him and the ministry that Brother John's involved in, this gospel film production, that God would use it to reach. Of course, the numbers we heard yesterday were astounding, brother. I'm amazed. I guess I shouldn't be. We're talking about something God's in, but sometimes those numbers, you just don't expect it to do what, you know, some small something really, but that's how God works. Anyone else? Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll look over the bulletin right quick, and then we'll get into the lesson this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it's again, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be back in your house. I thank you, Lord, for each one that's here, Lord, these requests that have been shared, Lord, and no doubt, Lord, we could all speak of different loved ones and, Lord, different individuals, Lord, those that are in great need. But, Lord, we bring to you, Lord, this morning these that have been mentioned, Lord, asking you and trusting you, Lord, to do a great work, Lord, in the lives of these, Lord. Brother James Foster, Lord, I pray you touch him, Lord, in this alcohol. Lord, I pray you deliver him, Lord, from that. I pray you trust you, and I see the great power of God in his life. I pray for the peace of Israel this morning, Lord. I pray for Phil Wood, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you touch Sandy there at home, Lord, and help Rodney, Lord, and help the doctors, and Lord, these works, Lord, that are going on around the world, Lord, and these of our brothers and sisters that are serving you, Lord, in the places you've called them and you've placed them, Lord, I pray you just give give your unction and your power, Lord, and I pray, Lord, you would watch over these things and these individuals, and Lord, I pray your word would indeed go forth, and Lord, we'd see the fruit of your power working in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Lord, our nation needs your touch, Lord. Our nation, Lord, needs, and Lord, it's not just our nation, Lord, but I pray, Lord, you would touch, Lord, these situations, Lord, that are going on, Lord, this moral relativism, Lord, the people, Lord, that just want to do their own thing, Lord, and with no regard, Lord, no even concern sometimes for you or your word or even others around them, Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, do a great work in this day, Lord, and in our country and in our area. Help us, Lord, to be faithful so you can get all the glory and honor that you're worthy of, Lord, in and through our lives. Have your way now, we pray, Lord, in this Sunday school hour, Lord. I pray you touch every teacher, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd work through each student, Lord, in each of our hearts, Lord. I pray your word, Lord, would abide in us, Lord, that we might be able to bring forth fruit that will lift you up and honor you and exalt you. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We do have these, of course, announcements that are here, and I want to share these just before we get into the lesson. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, I want to kind of focus on verse number 12 this morning, but I'd ask you to just continue to pray for all these things that we've got coming up here. The 28th, we've got a business meeting coming up, and I've already mentioned about Brother John preaching this morning and this evening. The 29th of February, we'll be feeding the Sheriff's Department, and trust you'd pray for them. Of course, pray for our law enforcement all around the area. This situation where this guy was impersonating an officer just serves to remind us that there's much prayer is needed for those who are actually in those positions of being law enforcement, and pray that God would help them to bring forth glory and honor to God, that they would know him as their Savior, and then that they would show that relationship to others in their service to the community. Let's remember this teen youth rally coming up March the 9th. It'll actually be over at State Line Baptist, and we'll be much in prayer for that. On the 12th of March, our church here will be hosting a pastor's fellowship, and I trust you'd pray for that, pray for the service, pray for the ones that will be doing the preaching there. And then in the spring and summer, the Bible, or our bulletin here says about a spring revival that we're going to be having April 28th through the 30th, and then the camp meeting out at Tri-City Campgrounds July 8th through July 12th. And let's be much in prayer for these. It also mentions there the Wilds Teen Camp, scheduled for June the 10th to the 15th. Let's be much in prayer for these teen and these youth-oriented services and meetings, and pray that God would touch our young people's hearts. We are going to have to be, we're going to have to give account, first off, for how we reach those and how we pass the word of God along to this generation coming on. They're not going to get it anywhere other than a good, sound Bible church and a good, sound Bible family relationship. And we just need to be much in prayer for our young folk that they would indeed respond right to the word of God, that we'd reach them as God would help us to do so. In Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, and I want to begin reading actually in verse number 8. But I want to try to focus in, after I say a few other things here, on verse number 12. I've said this, I think, here before, and I think it's, for me anyway, I feel it's needful. I know other folk look at the book of Philippians, and they say the theme of the book of Philippians is joy and rejoicing, and I know that's all through this book of Philippians. But as I have studied this over the course of the last several years, the more I study it, the more I see in it this theme that's actually presented to us in verse number 12 of the furtherance of the gospel. And that's kind of the way I want to go, and Lord being my helper, I believe that's the direction I need to go with the lesson this morning. But let's begin reading in verse number 8 of chapter number 1. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This passage of scripture here, as we looked at read verse number 8 there, this verse actually tells about the believer's desire for fellowship with other believers. And we need to have that kind of desire. We need to express that kind of desire, just like we had this men's fellowship here at the church yesterday, and the opportunity to just share time with one another, and of course have the ministry of the Word of God as well, to spend time with one another. I mean, we go through our day-to-day lives through our week, and I'm privileged to be able to have a boss that's a believer. I'm privileged to have some believers that work with me, but not all folk that are still in the workforce have that blessing and have that opportunity. Some folk live in area or work in areas where the folk that they work around are hostile to the gospel. They have no desire to hear anything from God, about God. They don't want to hear you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear you talk about church. And I mean, Susan worked in a place several years ago, and to speak about Christ, to even say Merry Christmas, was something that was against the rules. And it's a sad state of affairs that we're in, that a nation that historically, and I understand why some folk want to rewrite history, because they want to write God out of it, but our history as a nation is founded on the principles of the Word of God. And you and I that are believers, we need to take courage. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, and so the countenance of man encourages. And I'm not quoting that just exactly right, but we sharpen one another. God uses us as believers to remind us of our responsibilities, remind us of our privileges, remind us of the blessings that God's given us, and we encourage one another to walk closer to the Lord the more we have fellowship one with another. And our desire to be found faithful to the house of God, faithful to ministering to one another, especially if we have brothers and sisters that cannot make it to the house of God. And we need to be mindful of them, not only in prayer, but as God would help us to have the opportunity to be able to reach out to them and to spend time with them. We had a young preacher, well, I guess he's about the same age I am, but anyway, not much younger than me if he was. We had a young preacher who used to be a part of this church, and his wife was very sickly. She's since died, and as far as I know, gone on to be with the Lord. But I offered him, I asked him one time, I said, brother, I said, I know your wife's not able to come to church, and sometimes that means you can't come to church. I asked him, I said, would it be possible for us to do like a cottage prayer meeting? Could we come out? I mean, even if we got a set up in the yard, I'd be willing to do that. You know, come out and at least have an opportunity to be able to have some fellowship, be close, give some encouragement, give out the word of God, sing some songs, give praise to God, and be ministered one to another. And he said, well, she don't like that kind of thing taking place at home. And I couldn't understand that, and I still don't to this day. But you know, we need to try to make opportunities for that. Now, I come up in a time, and most of you that are in this class, I don't know how many of you were engaged or involved in cottage prayer meetings, but when I first got saved, it was a common thing. We went out and set out. I've set out in my, and I'm not saying this to brag, it was a blessing from God to be able to do this, but I've set out in my grandparents' front yard and on the front porch, and we've preached and studied the Bible and prayed and sang songs. And hey, listen, the folk around couldn't help but hear. We had an opportunity one time in a field right out from the house that I'd lived in there growing up, to have a brush arbor meeting for about 2 weeks. Hey, listen, those things, though they may sound antiquated, God used those things greatly to reach folk, and the folk come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we had fellowship. And I'll be honest with you, I miss that. I miss being able, and I know I'm getting a little bit off the course here, but I miss being able to have the opportunity just to go visit around churches like we used to when I was young. And I'm not real old, but I miss that opportunity because we used to get out and go here to church and there to church, revival meeting, whatever it was, we'd go and be a part. We got to know a whole lot of other brothers and sisters in the Lord. We got to know about their needs. We got to know about the blessings. We got to be able to share in what was going on in their lives and what God was doing. We need to have that kind of desire for fellowship with other believers. Verse 9 through verse number 11 actually tell us about our not only our fellowship, but a believer's desire for the furtherance of other believers. And that's really what I kind of want to focus on this morning. I don't want to actually look. We've already looked the last time that I stood here for teaching Sunday school. We looked at verses 9 through 11, and we could spend time going back over that, but I don't think that's the way God wants. The question, though, that's on my heart and mind this morning is this. How long's it been since you personally, and you can answer that between you and God, but how long's it been since you personally thought about the growth of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? How long has it been? See, those of us that teach and preach, we can get in a rut. We can get in a rut of, we're getting ready to preach. We got to have a lesson, or we got to be prepared to preach a sermon. We got to put time and effort into being ready for this. And sometimes we do that with probably not a great lot of thought or prayer about the effects of that on the lives of the brothers and sisters we have an opportunity to minister to. We get caught up in the technicalities, if you will, of being ready to give a lesson or preach a message, whatever it is. How long's it been since you thought about whether it was your actions, your words, your presence at the house of God? How long's it been since you've considered the growth, the spiritual growth of your brothers and sisters that you have an opportunity to minister to? We live in a day that's eat up with I and me. We live in a day where the egos, as the word goes, the attitudes of individuals are eaten up with, and we're guilty of it at times too. I hope a whole lot less than the world around us, and it certainly should be that way, a whole lot less. But we live in a world that's eaten up with self. I and me, we go and we bemoan the fact that we can't get good customer service in places where we need service, where we can't do what needs to be done. We need others to help us. And the attitude and response we get many times is one of, boy, they may not say it, some of them will, but they may not say it, but it's as if they're looking at us and saying, boy, I wish you didn't show up today. Or what can I do about that? What difference does that make to me? See, as a family, and that's what we are as believers, we're a family. As a matter of fact, the scripture uses this word here in verse number 12, brethren. It in the Greek, it's a combination word of two words, a and delphos. And the idea that's transmitted by this word here, brethren, means to come from the same womb. I don't care how you cut it. If you came from the same womb, you were close. Even if you didn't come from the same womb at the same time. I don't know how many of you here have siblings. I have two. I have a natural sister, and then I have a sister that was adopted. But as far as I'm concerned, they may as well both be blood sisters. the one that was adopted, she was a part of my household. Actually, I'd already grown up and went off to basic training when mom and dad got her to begin with and then eventually adopted her. But she was there for her whole life. They got her right out of the hospital. And it wouldn't matter. I mean, she was adopted into the family. She's part of our family. That closeness that should be there between natural siblings or adopted, as that case may be, should be heightened in this spiritual relationship. The intimacy we share, the closeness, the concern, the love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. We're brethren. To have the attitude when we meet a brother or sister out in public or in the house of God or wherever we might meet, to have the attitude that I'm going to stay as far away from them as I can. I know what they're going to be talking about. They got burdens and they got problems and I'm just too busy. To have that kind of attitude is not the attitude of a brother or sister in Christ. God's word commands us to look out for the welfare of our brothers and sisters. So the question this morning, how long has it been since you've considered or since I've considered the growth of our fellow brothers and sisters is a pertinent question for today. But I would, you should understand, brethren. Now, this particular phrase here, I would, you should understand, this is the only time this occurs in the Bible. But six other times Paul uses the phrase, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant. This concept that we can just go through life and concern ourselves. I mean, Paul even said in the book of Romans, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. You and I are going to have to deal with people regardless whether we like it or not. I was talking to an individual the other day and they were talking about how they said, I'm not a people person. I just don't like being around people. I just don't like having, hey, listen, you're not going to make it through life that way. Whether you like it or you don't, you're not going to make it through life. But the privileges and the blessings that come by acknowledging the fact that God placed us here with others, and particularly in the family of God, others of like precious faith, and the blessings of being able to be a ministered unto, yes, but to be able to minister to them. Those blessings and those privileges that God provides for us there, they can't be measured. And for us to go on as if we can just simply pass along ignorantly and act as if what's going on in others is not a concern to us, that should be foreign to our thinking completely. And the fact that Paul says here, but I would you should understand, he's just talked about this prayer that he has for the believers in Philippi that they would grow. And he doesn't use that word grow there. He talks about your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. He's talking about, he's giving this prayer, he's letting them know that he's not just simply got a warm, fuzzy feeling concerning these believers in Philippi. He is actively pursuing, even though he is not physically present with them, he's actively pursuing a closer walk with God for them by praying these specific prayer requests. And he wants to be with them. He has a desire to be in their presence. And as he told the Romans, no doubt, he has a desire to impart some spiritual gift to them, whatever God would allow him to do to benefit and to further their growth Paul's willing to do it. There lays another question for us then. Just how far are we willing to go to help our brothers and sisters grow in the Lord? Or do we have some imaginary line drawn, as they said back in the Gulf War, a line drawn in the sand? Have we put a mark down there and said, well, I'm going to go this far, but bud, if your need's greater than this, then I'm just not even going to try. Your growth as an individual believer is intimately connected to my growth as an individual believer. We are part of the body of Christ. And if one part of my body, if the growth is stunted, it affects the operation of the entire body. Somebody was talking the other day and they were talking about, I could do without a couple of my toes. Well, that you may have pain and you may feel like it might be a good idea to lose that member that's causing the problem. But it's going to affect how the rest of your body operates if you lose a toe. My son was involved in an accident at a flooring plant and lost one complete finger and about two-thirds of another. It affects the things he's able to do with that hand. He can't grasp like he once did. Brother James here, he's got a couple of fingers there that's affected by having been cut off. Hey, these things can't go on in the body of Christ and it not affect the rest of the body. Now, that being said, we do have to remember that our God is able. And I'm going to be real honest with you. I got on Facebook yesterday, I guess it was, or maybe Friday night, and I come across this ad for this young man, and he looked like he probably wasn't in maybe in his 30s. He has cerebral palsy. His first name's Michael. I never did get his last name. He's written some books. And as I heard him tell how God had used him and given him the ability to write these books and what they were about, and he was actually basically just using different accounts of different passages of Scripture, and particularly ones that were favorites of his, and he was given life principles from those Scriptures. He didn't claim to be a preacher. He has a physical inability. He has whatever this, and I don't know the scope of cerebral palsy, so y'all forgive me for being ignorant to this end, but he has something that most folk would look at as a drawback, something that would keep him and prevent him from doing. But God uses him. And I sat there and all I could do is, as he talked about some of the things that were in the books that he had written and the principles God allowed him to share, all I could do is sit and cry and think, my God's able to do. My determination and your determination, as a matter of fact, this word here, would, it's a word that means to be willing. And Paul wasn't willing that these folk go on in ignorance. He wanted them to understand that they were brethren, that God had a plan for them. As a matter of fact, this word for be willing implies a determination to reach a goal. And he'll say this, he says it in other passages of Scripture. As a matter of fact, Ephesians in chapter number 4 talks about that we should go on to the full measure of the stature of Christ. That should be our goal, but we shouldn't act like we can just sit idly by. I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. What's happened with Paul? He's been busy obeying God. He's been busy preaching. We all know what took place in Paul's life. I don't know if there's a single individual sitting in this auditorium this morning that doesn't already know the story of Paul and what took place in his life. And he is at the point of writing this book of Philippians. He's either under house arrest or he's literally in a prison. There's some discussion as to which it is, but either way, he's in bonds. Physically, he's in bonds. He is, from the physical standpoint, restrained from getting out to preach the word of God. But God takes him in his physical restraint and pins down inspired words from God that we're reading here this morning. Our limitations literally mean nothing to God. They are simply avenues through which God intends to get maximum glory through me and you. We pray for folk, and we should pray for folk that have physical inabilities, they have sickness, and we've mentioned about praying for Sister Sandy, and we've got others here in the church that can't come to the house of God. I think of Ray and Sally and others, and Larry and Alice that can't come because of issues that are their health issues. And I don't know what God's wanting them to do in that state where they can't come to the house of God. It's not up to me to tell them what to do. That's up to God to direct them. But that inability doesn't keep them from being able to be used of God in whatever way he sees fit. So what should I be doing for Brother Ray and Sister Sally, for Brother Larry and Sister Alice and the others in the congregation, and Sister Sandy and Brother Rodney? What should I be doing? I should, if nothing else, at the very least that I could do, is send up some prayers to God that where they are, God give them the courage, God give them the faith, God give them the love, God give them whatever is necessary for them to accomplish his will right where they are, until he sees fit to change where they are. And then let God get the glory, because he's going to do something. He doesn't give us an opportunity. I know I've said this year, and I thank God for allowing me to see it years ago. God doesn't give us anything to pray about, any person to pray for, that he does not intend to do his will in their lives. He's working on that, or we wouldn't be praying about it in the first place. I would, you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out. That word fallen out in the Greek is actually a little word which means to come or go. It's just a little common word. It's all through the New Testament. Now, when we read it, we kind of feel like have fallen out. That means, well, something happened that we just wasn't expecting to have happen. And my, this could be a very big tragedy. But all Paul's saying is these things just happened. This was part of God's will. This was part of what was coming along. And from the outside, it was just something that comes, and eventually it will be something that goes. It's fallen out, though. It's came our way. It came Paul's way for the furtherance, the progress, the advancement of the gospel. It didn't come so I could sit back and say, woe is me. Why would God allow this in my life? Boy, this is a struggle that I don't have, and we'd be right in saying this, I don't have the ability or the means to be able to overcome this. We don't, but our God does. And in spite of whether he sees fit to lift a particular burden, inability, lack of freedom, or not, he still has a usefulness in that place, and he can get, if we'll allow him to, he can get maximum glory through us in those places. He can further the gospel. You ever realize the Bible talks about the God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I'm not knocking preaching. God called me to preach when I was 16 years old. I understand by the scriptures anyway, I understand what God can do and does do and has done through preaching. But just stop and think about the mechanics of it for a minute. I mean, literally. I or any other preacher gets up here, and one of the words that's translated preach in the New Testament just means a loud harangue, or in other words, a lot of loud noise. And we get up here, and yes, we're reading from the Word of God, which God has placed all His power and all His honor in His Word, but all we're doing is talking. I mean, from the human standpoint, it really shouldn't do a great lot because people talk all the time. It's not in us. The excellency of the power is not in us. But God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching, not that preaching's foolish, but that from the human aspect, the human mindset of it, it's something that really shouldn't do a great lot. But God, and that's the difference. But God, A, has ordained through the preaching of the gospel to save men that believe. God has ordained it through the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the word of God to build up believers like me and you, and to use us in the growth of His body in this world. Wow. Now that is something big. That's something amazing. Why would God take a filthy, worthless chunk of His dirt, fill it with His breath, give us life in this world, and then choose to use us when He could do whatever He wanted to without us perfectly fine? Because He wants to use us, because His desire is to be with us in this work and to bless us. Everything, I heard this said years ago, everything God controls, gives. Everything, everybody God controls, gives. I'm not just talking like giving money. Everything God controls, gives. That's because God is a giving God. Everything we have, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down to the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, and the shadow of turning. He is a good and a giving God. We're here in testimony to His goodness and the gifts that He's given. I should look out as Paul did. Paul did it from bonds, from being bound. You and I, from the limitations that we have from a physical standpoint or whatever they may be, but we should look out and see brothers and sisters that we know, we may not know exactly what their need is. We do know they need to grow, just as we need to grow. And we should look out for opportunities to reach brother or sister so-and-so, whoever they may be, so that they may grow, so that the gospel will be furthered in their lives. And when the gospel is furthered in their lives, God will further the gospel through their lives, and others will be reached, whether it's for salvation or for growth or whatever it is. So that my bonds in Christ are made manifest. And look at this, pay attention to these words. In all the palace and in all other places. That word palace there is literally the Greek word praetorion. It speaks of the headquarters of the Roman governor. Sometimes it was nothing more than a tent and a field. Sometimes it was actual literal palace. Paul here is in Rome. He is near to Caesar's palace. He may very well be in that Mamertine prison. He has been surrounded during different times by these guards that are part of, or at least our understanding of Scripture is that they were part of this Praetorian Guard. And Paul says, my bonds in Christ are manifest. He could have been in bonds by anything. And it wouldn't have made a difference whether it got to the palace or not. But the fact that he was there because of faithfulness to Christ, and he was continuing to be faithful, made his testimony, made his work, made his bonds glorifying to God, where he was and in all other places. You say, in all other places? Yep. Here we are in 2024, and Paul ain't been around for a long time. But what God used him to do, what God used him to write down, God's used that, and he will continue to use that till God decides it's time, or till God's appointed time, I should say, to wind this thing down and bring it to a close. When was the last time you thought about the growth of a fellow brother or sister? And just how far are we willing to go in seeing to it that our brothers and sisters do, in fact, grow in Christ? Let's pray.